Director Greg Barker followed four of the top foreign policy advisors in the Obama administration during the year leading into the 2016 election. And his new film, The Final Year, documents their globetrotting adventures in Greenland, Africa, and boardrooms and airplanes all over the world. You see smart, deliberative people who care about their jobs and care about the people affected by their jobs. You see them debating what to do about a Syrian government slipping toward genocide. You'll see them on election night just as stunned and speechless as everybody else was. This is the kind of documentary where you parachute into a situation and hope interesting things happen. Did it turn out the way you thought things would turn out?
I mean, I had a feeling that in the last year of a presidency as historic as Barack Obama's, whatever you think of him, it was a historic presidency, and that, you know, they were very active internationally. So if we followed the foreign policy team around, stuff would happen. And I didn't want to make a film about policy per se. This is an experiential, you know, kind of emotional, character-driven account of people inside the walls of power that we never get to penetrate. And, you know, I just wanted to take us in there and so you can feel what it's like and feel the highs and lows and the hopes and aspirations and the despair that's at play and the arguments that are going on behind, you know, closed doors. And that's what I wanted to kind of capture. So obviously, you know, I had a feeling that with the built-in ticking clock of like a new president coming on January 20th, that inevitably is going to create a narrative tension that's useful as a filmmaker to kind of draw on that. And you can feel that in the film. But obviously nobody ever saw what was going to come with the election, where everything that they'd hoped to achieve and thought they'd accomplished in 8 years just suddenly called into question. And, you know, that was nobody didn't see that coming.
I just came outside to try to process all this. I mean, I can't put it into words. I don't know what the words are.
Yeah, I mean, that was an amazing moment. And I think in the film, it's, you know, here's a guy, we sort of track him for, you know, for months and months. And he's talking about, you know, he's asked, you know, in Laos, he's asked by an exchange student, like, what about Donald Trump? Does he have any chance of winning? He's like, no, Hillary's going to win. And he's very sort of almost dismissive, you could argue flippant about the election. And, you know, and then, you know, of course, you know, it's like the Titanic, right? We all know the ship's going to hit the iceberg and the characters don't. So
exactly.
You know, so
yeah.
we know it's coming. And so his, you know, it's really, you know, it's very powerful. And then, yeah, there's that scene where he just is actually literally unable to describe his feelings after the election. It's very powerful.
You're all over the world in this film, traveling with these different people. You're in Washington, D.C. some, and on airplanes some, and in Africa and different places. Were you with the person that's on camera most of the time, or were you zigzagging between a lot of these people with different crews?
It's pretty much me with there the whole time. I mean, there's a trip we went with Secretary Kerry to Greenland. I was editing and I couldn't make that trip, or some of them just conflicted. But basically, I'd say 95% of what you see on the film, I was there. I had an amazing team with me, you know, that worked together on this project, but we kept it very small. It had to be a small team. We filmed in 22 countries, and it was a lot of air miles. it was an extraordinary experience to actually to live through.
Well, and I would guess that having a camera crew, you know, with the sound guy and the producer, and I would imagine that brings another layer of complexity to exactly where you can go and who you can talk to. Did you feel like what you were getting was pretty unfettered for the most part because you sort of disappeared into the background over the time you were making the film?
Yeah, I mean, I kept the crew very small. It was really myself. I had sort of a co-producer who was with me a fair amount of the time, sound man, camera person. Sometimes that would crunch down to just one person. Sometimes it was just me in a car and me in a room with people, or me and a sound guy, and or a cameraman on his own and a camerawoman on her own with, you know, so it was really important to have as light a foot as a light of presence as possible, because, you know, I mean, on a pure logistical level, these are like, these are small rooms. There's, you know, you kind of can't be in the way. We were just hanging out inside the West Wing lobby, not in the, with the normal press corps. So, you know, it was, you know, this is the same lobby that official guests use, or in one of the lobbies is right outside the Situation Room. So it's like, you know, we had to like be able to just kind of, you know, not get in the way, and know when to film and, you know, when to kind of hold back. And because I knew we had time, I, you know, it's often the case where if you say, somebody says to you, you know, you got 90 seconds right now. Like, well, what are we going to do with 90 seconds? Well, maybe nothing, but just take that 90 seconds. The next day, the next week, it's going to turn into, you know, 90 minutes. And that's my sort of approach always, is to know when to push and know when to like, kind of like let things kind of run their course, because in the end, you know, I was very confident I would get what we needed.
Well, the attention and the emphasis on the human aspects of their jobs, I thought was really interesting. You know, we're at a time right now when the Trump administration is trying to return 200,000 refugees, you know, back to Central America without really any discussion or sentiment toward what's really happening. Why are these people here? Why should they go home, you know, right now? What about their children that are born in the United States? What about their children that are not born in the United States? And you see in the film, Samantha Power, and you're with her, lands on a plane in Nigeria, and she's talking to these parents of these children of Boko Haram. And I wondered at the time, like, she's got very limited time and she's dealing with expertise at a very high level. Why is she talking to these individual family members about this crisis? She knows what they're going to say. She knows what their positions are. And in the very next scene, John Kerry answers it in Greenland and says, you know, this is what makes us an advocate. You come here and you see the ice is gone that you saw before when it was there, and it becomes very real.
This is seeing firsthand things I've read about, and I think it'll make me a more urgent advocate and hopefully a better advocate. You're multitasking. No other issue. I mean, Libya doesn't stop, or Yemen or Syria or whatever. I just had a conversation on the bridge of this ship with our team that's working on the issue of a cessation of hostilities on Syria. My job is to keep fighting and keep working. And if I wasn't an optimist, I wouldn't be able to do this job.
I know Samantha feels this very strongly, is that, you know, it's very easy for foreign policy to kind of get kind of compartmentalized into the abstract principles, and, you know, a lot of the day-to-day of foreign policy is done in, you know, conference rooms and, you know, but really we're talking about the lives of people, ordinary people. And it's, and I know she felt strongly, and I personally feel very strongly, is that, you know, we have to be, you know, recognize that these great decisions of state, of national security, come affect the lives of individuals around the world, both in the States and overseas. And I think one of the reasons she goes there is to just to honor that these are, we're talking about real lives. So, you know, 200,000, you know, people from Central America being sent back. I mean, that's a lot of people. Refugees from, you know, Syria or Boko Haram in Africa. I mean, these are like individual lives. And like, you know, whenever you dig down into anybody's individual lives, people essentially are the same everywhere. They want a better life and for themselves and their families, security, food on the table, hope for their kids. I mean, it's kind of, and so all these like crises that can be in the abstract, basically mean that you've got hundreds of thousands of millions of lives, individual lives being disrupted. And I think, I know that, that Samantha feels that sort of very, you know, and not just her, but I mean, that's, you know, that's why she went to those, went to that camp, you know, because she wants to kind of honor that and give dignity to the people that, it's not about human rights. In my perspective, it's about, like, let's respect human rights. Yes, let's respect the fundamental dignity of individuals around the world, not just, you know, inside our borders.
Well, I saw the final year several weeks ago, and the film has really stayed with me, and I really appreciate you making it. And I hope you don't mind that a film that you didn't make for comparison with current administration, I hope you won't mind it being used for that purpose over the next several months, because I think that's going to be, I think that's going to be the reference point or the vantage point for how people are going to see this film.
Yeah, I think you're right. Okay, good. Appreciate it.
All right,
Scott.
Thank you.